Welcome to Agent Driven Development. Today, you cannot read yourself into AI SDLC literacy. Four things to know. One, AI fundamentally changes how we build software. Two, leaders must directly experience new technologies to understand them. Three, old processes hinder new technology adoption and impact. Four, leaders need direct technical engagement for strategic decisions. Now, the engines are purring. The Atlantic is glass. You're 3 hours out of Miami, pointed toward Bimini, and everything is perfect until your old academy roommate asks a question. Steve asks when you're actually going to use artificial intelligence to build something. You're standing at the helm of your 62-foot weekender, your boat, your friends are below deck. You have the con, you know exactly where you are, where you're going, and how to get there. You have earned the right to these weekend runs to the Bahamas Coast Guard Academy, 8 years of service. You can navigate by stars if the electronics fail. Steve, your academy roommate is sprawled across the fighting chair with a beer, looking entirely too relaxed for someone who just closed a Series C for his artificial intelligence-powered accounting software startup. He was always like this, comfortable asking uncomfortable questions. Lucky too, after graduation, you got stationed in the Caribbean doing actual Coast Guard work while Steve somehow pulled Lake Michigan, spent his summers sailing and winters holed up in the barracks working on his Master of Science in Computer Science. You used to give him endless grief about it. Now he is giving you grief about AI. You say that you have been reading about it. You talk to your vendor partners. You're evaluating options. Steve asks if you bought a book on nuclear submarines. He says that is what you're doing. You're trying to read your way into understanding how nuclear submarines work, but you're a surface vessel guy. Two dimensions, combustion engines. You cannot just read about going three-dimensional and atomic. It does not work that way. You throttle back slightly. He has your attention. You tell him you run a software company and do not have time to play with every new tool that comes along. Steve reminds you that you toured 3 data centers before you picked your hyperscaler. You flew to Seattle, Northern Virginia, and Dublin. You met their executive teams. You smelled the diesel in the tanks. You looked at the logbooks of the Caterpillar generators. You asked about redundancy and cooling systems. You wanted to see the actual infrastructure. You argue that was different. That was critical infrastructure. Steve asks if AI is not. He sits up now. He explains his company has 6 engineers. 2 of them are certified public accountants who learned to code last year. 4 are recent graduates. They are eating market share from competitors with 50-person engineering teams. He asks if you want to know why. You do actually, Steve says. It is because his competitors are still building like it is 2020. They are running 2-week sprints and arguing about story points while his 2 certified public accountants are shipping features because they understand the accounting domain and AI handles the parts they do not know yet. The boat settles into the new speed. You have another hour before you need to navigate the approach to Bimini. Plenty of time for this conversation you have been avoiding. You tell him you know how to code and that you still write code. Steve asks, when the last time you shipped something was, it is longer than you want to admit. The bottom line is simple. If you're a chief technology officer who still writes code, you need to stop reading about AI infrastructure and start building with it. Not because it makes for good leadership theater, because you literally cannot understand what is changing without hands-on experience. The literacy problem is real. Your mental models for estimation, code review, testing, and deployment are all calibrated for human developers working at human speeds with human constraints. AI agents operate under completely different physics. You cannot read your way out of this gap. Think about your first software job after the academy. Sure, you had watched Office Space, but that movie did not teach you what it actually meant to be a developer. What taught you was the late hours debugging production incidents. The peculiar satisfaction of solving interesting problems buried in terrible code bases, the accumulated scar tissue from shipping code that mattered, those experiences form your entire point of view on software development. That foundational understanding is what got you to the leadership position you're in today. Or think about this boat. You did not buy it based on the brochure. You sea trialed it twice. You brought your own captain to check the systems. You ran it hard to see how it handled. You did not read your way into those decisions. You lived them. AI-assisted development is a larger shift, and you are the chief technology officer. You do not get to delegate understanding the primary AI infrastructure your organization uses to build software. You need to understand what getting your hands dirty actually means. Steve asks what you would actually do. He tells you to pull a story card, real work, something that matters but will not sink the company if you experiment on it. Work it all the way through to release using AI assistance. Do not block off Friday afternoon for 3 hours and declare victory. Own the entire lifecycle. You're probably thinking exactly what Steve just called out. Friday afternoon, 3 hours with the tools. Make a decision, move on. That is not enough. You need to experience what changes when you can generate entire modules from specifications instead of functions from partial lines. How code review shifts when you're validating agent output instead of human reasoning. What testing means when the thing writing the code can also generate comprehensive test suites, where the new bottlenecks actually are in the workflow. The knowledge you need exists in the delta between your expectations and reality. You can only get it from the surprise of discovering your assumptions were wrong. The competitive reality is stark. Steve takes another pull from his beer and says his competitors have bigger teams, better funded, more mature processes. They have architects and principal engineers in whole departments dedicated to quality assurance, and they are losing ground to two certified public accountants and four kids fresh out of college. You say it is because they are using AI. Steve says it is because they are still building, like it is 2020 and his team is not. They are optimizing for constraints that do not exist anymore when you're working with AI agents. They are running story pointing sessions for work that does not get measured in story points. They are doing code reviews designed for human cognitive limits when the thing that wrote the code does not have human cognitive limits. He leans forward. He says, they all know about AI. They are all evaluating it. They have some pilot program running in a corner somewhere, but they are not reorganizing around it. They are trying to bolt AI onto their 2020 processes and wondering why it is not transformative. The gap is being exploited by people like Steve. The guy who spent his Coast Guard winters in a Lake Michigan barracks writing code for his master's degree, that same guy now runs circles around established software companies with two certified public accountants and some recent graduates. Then there is the authority problem. You tell Steve that you hear a lot about developers being happy, retention is good, the team likes the processes, you ask why you should rock the boat. Steve actually laughs at that. He says, a happy crew is a good crew. He is not disputing that. But you are the captain. You do not get to delegate this decision to your crew based on whether they are comfortable. He gestures at the helm. He asks if you take a vote when you're navigating into Bimini and the weather changes. He asks if you check if your passengers are happy with the new course. You do not. You make the call that is right for the ship. You say that is different. Steve says it is exactly the same. Your developers might be perfectly happy building the way they have always built. Comfortable workflows, established patterns, known constraints, but comfortable is not the same as competitive. And you're not optimizing for developer comfort. You're optimizing for your organization's ability to compete and survive. He is right. You know he is right. Developer happiness matters. Of course it does. A happy crew is a good crew, but it is still a crew, and you're still the captain. Your job is to make the right strategic calls, even when they are uncomfortable. Bimini is visible on the horizon. Now you need to start thinking about the approach. You cannot lead transformation in something you do not understand operationally. Your team knows this. They can tell the difference between a leader who has done the work and one who has read about the work, and they definitely know when you're avoiding a hard decision by hiding behind their comfort level. When you make architectural decisions about AI infrastructure adoption without operational experience, you're making them blind. You do not know what you're optimizing for. You cannot distinguish vendor marketing from operational reality. You cannot ask the right questions because you have not encountered the right problems. Steve tells you to build something this weekend. He says he will help. He will even sign a non-disclosure agreement and be your intern. He tells you not to just get a demo or review the team's work. Actually write code using AI assistance and ship it to production. You will learn more in that single iteration than you will in 6 months of reading analyst reports. Steve drains his beer and grins. He says with the Series C money, they are hiring three more teams. He says if you ever want to actually work again instead of just reading about work, they compensate AI developers incredibly handsomely. He gestures at the boat around you and says, since you own this wreck, you're probably better off staying where you are. You tell him this wreck costs more than his first three funding rounds combined. Steve says his burn rate is better. He is still grinning. He tells you to get in the boat. The nuclear submarine, not this diesel-powered museum piece you're so proud of. The submarine manual does not teach you how to operate a submarine. Operating the submarine teaches you how to operate the submarine. You throttle down for the approach to Bimini. The conversation is over, but the point landed. Get in the boat. Thanks for listening to Agent Driven Development. Find more at agentdrivendevelopment.com.